The US Senate has passed a crucial funding bill which could bring an end to the longest government shutdown in history. Eight Democrats broke away, joining Republicans to approve the deal, which it's hoped will bring an end to the shutdown, which has had wide-ranging impacts, including on US air travel and on food benefits for the less well-off. Meanwhile, in the United States, President Donald Trump has threatened a billion-dollar lawsuit against the BBC and has been busy meeting the new Syrian president, Ahmad al-Sharaa. Well, let's talk about all of that now with Miles McCormick, US economics correspondent with the Financial Times. Miles, good morning.
Good morning, Justin.
Let's start with the end of the US government shutdown. The eight Democrats who supported that deal, they've taken quite a bit of heat for doing that. Did they get anything in return for siding with Republicans?
In reality, not really, beyond the fact that this seems to pave the way for an end to the shutdown. What Democrats had been hoping for when they held out on the deal for the last 40 plus days was that Republicans would come around on healthcare subsidies and agree an extension to existing healthcare subsidies for poorer Americans. And in the package that passed the Senate overnight, there was no such agreement. They have got an agreement for a vote on healthcare subsidies in the coming months, but without Republican support for that, that likely won't pass. So really what Democrats have got out of this is a likely end to the shutdown, which the eight rebels calculated was something they were willing to prioritize, given the squeeze it's placed on many Americans over the party line.
But there is fallout then in the Democratic Party because of that move by those eight Democrats.
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of fallout. I mean, the eight rebels have been criticized by everyone from Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, to Zohran Mamdani, the new mayor of New York, and Chuck Schumer, the Democratic leader in the Senate, has come under pressure from many in his party to resign for failing to hold together the Democratic coalition. So after what was quite a positive week for Democrats last week when they won the mayoral election in New York and won gubernatorial races in Virginia and New Jersey, the party's been thrown into disarray again as infighting kicks off.
Moving on then, Trump versus the BBC. Donald Trump's lawyers, they've written to the BBC over the Panorama documentary which aired last year and which used edited clips which have led to claims of bias and, of course, the resignation of the BBC Director General and the head of news. What does Donald Trump actually want from the BBC now?
So in the letter that the president's lawyers sent to the BBC, they had three demands. They wanted a retraction from the BBC, they wanted an apology, and they wanted unenumerated compensation. And as you say, they said failing that taking place by this Friday, they would sue to the tune of $1 billion.
So what are they likely to get then out of those three demands? Are the BBC likely to respond and meet any of those demands?
Well, given the mood music at the moment and the fact, as you say, that the Director General and Head of News have already resigned over this saga and that the BBC have already admitted an error of judgment over it all, it seems likely that some form of apology and some form of retraction are likely to be forthcoming. As for the compensation, who knows? That's very much up in the air.
All right. And Donald Trump has also been busy meeting the new Syrian president, Ahmad al-Sharaa, who up until recently was sanctioned by Washington as being a foreign terrorist. Yesterday, he was in the White House where he got a warm reception from Donald Trump.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a very warm reception. And this was a historic visit, first by a Syrian president since the country's independence in 1946. And the kind of the warmth of the reception, I suppose, is all the more striking when you take into account that this was a man, Ahmad al-Sharaa, who was jailed by the Americans 20 years ago as a member of al-Qaeda. So quite a turnaround in that sense.
And what Syria wants the crippling sanctions on the country removed. what is Donald Trump, the deal maker, looking for in return then?
So it's very much up in the air where we go from here. I mean, the mood music that came out of the Oval Office yesterday was positive. Trump was full of compliments for the Syrian president. But a lot of the conversations seem to have taken place behind closed doors. So what the Americans will get out of it, what Donald Trump, as you say, the quintessential deal maker, will demand for any back down on sanctions is something we'll be watching closely in the weeks ahead.
Okay, Miles, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. That's Miles McCormick, US economic correspondent with the Financial Times. It is 7:25.